Hey, if you have a Bible, take it, go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Matthew 1, verse 23. While you're turning there, I want to say thank you to so many of you who prayed for me and my family this week. I had a niece who passed away this past week, and so many of you prayed for us, and I just want to say thank you for being faithful to do that. It's a great thing to be part of a spiritual family when you walk through valleys. We talked about valley walkers the entire fall, and it's amazing to be on the receiving end of it. So thank you very much for that. At the end of the service today, we're going to bring the giving, praying, fasting to a close with the big step of faith. We're going to fill that gap. We've been praying, we've been fasting, and today we're going to give the big give. And last week we learned that generosity is a catalyst for miracles. So today is a miracle Sunday. Today will begin a catalyst or catalyze a miracle in your life. So I want you to be prepared today. Christmas is a season of miracles. Let me say that again. Christmas is a season of miracles. At the Christmas season, we celebrate the miracle of incarnation. That's our message today, the miracle of incarnation. It's found in Matthew 1, verse 23. The scripture says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him," the choir just sang about it, "Emmanuel, God with us." Now, what do we mean when we talk about incarnation? I've got the theological definition on the screen there for you. When we talk about the incarnation, we're talking about the eternal Word, or second person of the Trinity, became a man or assumed human flesh at a point in time, yet without ceasing to be God. Now that's a mouthful. Actually, that's a heartful. That's a mindful. When you think about it, the eternal Word, or second person of the Trinity, became a man or assumed human flesh at a point in time, yet without ceasing to be God. We can't wrap our heads around that. That's why it's a miracle. It's beyond our comprehension, our understanding. The Creator entered His creation. The Eternal entered into time. God became human in order to die and rise again to save us from ourselves. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Omnipotent, in one instant, made Himself breakable. He who was larger than the universe itself allowed Himself to be contained in an embryo. Are you getting this? And He who sustains the world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young teenage girl. God as a fetus. Holiness in a womb. Wow. That's a miracle. John chapter 1 verse 1 puts it this way. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and don't miss this, the Word was God. Talking about Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now sometimes we're guilty in church of reading scriptures and just passing right over it and without realizing the profundity of the statement that has just been made. This is one of those statements. This is one of those statements you can say 1,000 times and think about for days and weeks and months and still stand in awe of the miracle of the incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the miracle of incarnation. Now, let's break this down a little bit, this word incarnation, because the root word is carne, C-A-R-N-E, okay, which translated means flesh, okay? So the Word became flesh. The Word became carne, incarnation. How many are with me so far? Now, for those of you that aren't with me, let me speak your language. How many of you like Mexican food? Now you're back with me. All right. Have you ever ordered chili con carne? Now, what is chili con carne? Chili con carne is chili with meat. Now, I'm sorry, I'm going to mess with it a little bit. Literal translation, it's chili with flesh. You may never eat, it's just beans from now on, for beans and tomatoes for all of us, okay? How about the word carnivore, right? Is a flesh eater. To be carnal When we talk about that in the church, is to be worldly or in the flesh, right? So carne means flesh. So God incarnate means God became flesh. The doctrine of the incarnation means that two distinct natures, the divine and the human, are united in one person. Now hang with me. The doctrine of the incarnation is that two divine natures became one in Jesus. Now, Jesus is not two people. He wasn't schizophrenic. He was one person. He was the God-man. This is awesome. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Miracles, and he writes this. He says, the central miracle asserted by Christians is the incarnation. I mean, let's look at that again. The central miracle asserted by Christians is in the incarnation. Now, what he doesn't say the resurrection. He doesn't say the central miracle is the cross. Watch this. He says the central miracle asserted by Christians is the incarnation. Every other miracle prepares for this or exhibits this or results from this. I know this is a little deep thinking, a little early in the morning, but grasp this. It was the central event in the history of the earth. C.S. Lewis says this is a big deal. Matter of fact, it's the most important deal that's ever been. The incarnation. The very thing that the whole story is about. The very thing that we celebrate here today. The whole purpose of Christmas is the incarnation of God in man. He continues to write, if the thing happened, and he's writing this text to unbelievers, to agnostics, he says, if the thing happened, it was the central event in the history of the earth, the very thing that the whole thing has been about. On a stormy night, a little girl was awakened by thunder and ran to the safety of her parents' room. As she snuggled into the bed between her mom and dad, her father tried to reassure her. And he said, there's no need to be afraid. God is with you. I know, Daddy, said the little girl, but right now, I need somebody with skin on. I've been there. We need somebody with skin on. The world needed somebody with skin on so that they could see God, so that they could experience God and be saved by God. God is not in some far distant place today, unapproachable, aloof, or separated, but because of the incarnation, God has skin. He knows all about pain. He knows all about rejection. He knows all about suffering. He knows about death. Everything that you've ever experienced, everything that you've ever felt, every frustration, every worry, God has experienced all of those things. We don't have a God who is unfamiliar with our sufferings, the scripture says. He knows who. That's the greatest message of all time. God came to us. That's what separates this text, this Bible, this faith from every other one, is that God came to us, God with us. God chose to come to us. That's why we have Christmas. That's why we have lights. That's why we sing songs. That's why it's such a big deal. God loves us so much. He sent his son to become a God-man so that he could be the sacrifice for our sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now, what does it mean he became poor? It means that he gave up his honor and glory in heaven. Watch this. He let go of his position. He relinquished all of the riches in heaven in order to become one of us. In order to enter our world, he had to lay down all that he had in the other world. Come on, somebody. And why did he do that? Because he loved us. To save us from our sins. He gave up the glory of heaven to become a human baby. He didn't even choose to become to come as an adult. I'm thinking that might have been a little easier. But no, he chose to be limited. He chose to walk through and experience everything that we've ever had. He gave up the glory of heaven to become a man. He put skin on to show us that he loved us. Now watch this. Because if that's all we talked about here today, that would be worth singing about. That would be amazing, just the amazing gesture of God's love. Because how many know if he loves us that much back then to send his son, the God-man, he still loves us that much. There's far too many people in this room today that are probably listening to the enemy lying to you, saying God does not care, God does not hear, God does not know. He is a liar, 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 pants on fire. God's word is true. He loves you. 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 If you're here and you're a teenager, you've been told you've been worthless and there's nothing good in your life, I'm here to say the opposite. There is a God in heaven who gave up his only son for you that you might be saved and have eternal life and live with purpose for the rest of your life. The incarnation is about the fact that God stepped out of heaven, something he didn't have to do. He chose to do it. And he put on himself clothes of flesh. He walked where we walked. He felt what we feel. He hurt like we hurt to reach us. Now, I want to make a statement to you that I want you to think about before you label me a heretic. In our surface thinking culture, some of you say, Pastor Wayne said this. Now think about what I'm about to say. The miracle of incarnation is at some level still happening. Pastor, what are you talking about? The miracle of incarnation is still happening when we step out of our comfort zone, when we don't have to walk in someone else's shoes. To get to where they are, to reach them, to love them, so that they could be saved. Let me illustrate that with a story. There was a little boy who wanted to meet God. He knew it would be a long trip to where God lived, so he packed a suitcase full of Twinkies and two cans of root beer. Sounds like a smart guy. These were his two favorite foods. So he set off on his journey. He'd only gone a few blocks when he passed an older woman sitting on a park bench and just staring at some pigeons. She looked sad and lonely, so the boy went over and sat down next to her. He opened his suitcase, took out a package of the Twinkies, and offered it to her. She gratefully took it and smiled at him. Her smile was so warm and wonderful that the boy wanted to see it again, so he offered her a can of his root beer. Once again, she took it and smiled at him. The boy was delighted. They sat there all afternoon eating the Twinkies, drinking the root beers, and watching the pigeons without saying a word to each other. As it grew dark, the boy realized that he had better get started home and got up to leave. But before he had gone just a few steps, he turned around, ran back to the older woman, and gave her a big hug. And she gave him the biggest smile of all. When the boy got home, his mother noticed how happy he seemed. So she asked him, what he had done all day. He told her, I had lunch with God. And you know what? She has the most beautiful smile I've ever seen. Meanwhile, the older woman had returned to her home. Her son also noticed how happy and contented she seemed to be and asked her what she had done that made her so happy. She said to him, I sat in the park and ate Twinkies with God. And you know, he's much younger than I expected. The world no longer has the privilege of seeing Jesus in the flesh. He came to the earth. He fulfilled his purpose. And for 33 years, he was here with us. And with our physical eyes, we can no longer see him. But the world can see Jesus in us. The world can see Christ in us. Now, I want to show you two verses, and this is what I want to hope brand in your spirit here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, God was in Christ. Let's stop right there. There's no doubt about the deity of Christ. Jesus is God. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So God was in Christ. And look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. The Bible says, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. How many know the incarnation is a mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Watch this, watch this. God in Christ, that's the incarnation. Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. Now get this, Christ in you. I'm in the wrong church today. Christ in you, Christ in me. The incarnation is still happening, not in the miraculous sense. None of us are walking around saying, I'm a God man. When you start confessing that, we're going to call somebody. They're going to come take you away and put you in a certain place. Okay, so that's not what I'm talking about at all. But look at this verse. The Bible says, Christ in you. Why? Why Christ in us? To make known the glorious riches of the mysteries of God. God lives in us to incarnate the glory of God to the world that desperately needs to see him and experience him. The ministry of reconciliation. Now, our junior Bible quizzers are awesome. We have a great junior Bible quiz program at our church. They learn the Word of God, Bible answers. Parents that are involved in junior Bible quiz, you are the smartest people in the world. One of the questions that they ask junior Bible quizzers, or one of the answers, is that the followers of Jesus were first called Christians at Antioch. And that word Christian meant literally little Christ. Little Christ. A couple weeks ago, I had the opportunity to pray with a young lady who had been brought to church by somebody. And as we ministered to this young lady here at this altar, it was just obvious that this was a divine appointment. God was working in her life, and everything about the service, she was saying, I can't believe they said this, and I can't believe this song was sung. And I'm like, wow, it was awesome. As I dug a little bit further, I found out that the reason she was here that day, 2 weeks ago, is because somebody that she did not know knocked on her door and invited her to church. She came to church. She experienced the presence of God. And right about there, I led her in a sinner's prayer, and she gave her heart to Jesus. How did that happen? The incarnation happened. God became flesh in us, in that lady who knocked on her door and invited her to church. Are you getting this? When we, as followers of Jesus, little Christs, step out of our own comfort zone, as Jesus did. Remember, he left the realms of heaven and experience the darkness of sin and the pain of this world to save us. The miracle of incarnation only happens when we choose to do the same. To step out of our comfort zone. To step out of our safe little world and show Jesus to somebody else. How many know? If Jesus had not chosen to enter into our world, we would all be lost. And if we don't choose to get out of ours, many will be lost. Amen. This morning, the challenge for us is to remember God is in Christ. Christ is in us. The hope of glory. Hope of the world. And I want you to think about and pray about how am I? How can God use me to incarnate the love of God to somebody else? Because just like Twinkies and God, people will be surprised how God will show up in certain situations. Because in reality, the way God shows up in people's lives is through somebody. Through words, through actions, kindness, generosity. Are you hearing me here today? I want to give you a couple examples of how this can happen this Christmas season. There are a lot of practical ways to do this. And one of the ways to do it is our upcoming world's largest Christmas party, to incarnate Jesus to about 200 kids. Pastor Tim's going to come and share a little bit about how that's going to work. Make Pastor Tim welcome as he comes to share.
Thanks, Pastor Wayne. On Wednesday, December the 18th at 7 o'clock, we have the opportunity to provide Christmas miracles for children who either have one or more parents that are incarcerated at the Johnson County Jail, children whose families have received ministry through Truth and Compassion Ministries, which is a part of our Grace Ministries who counsel moms to be towards pro-life. Maybe it's a child whose parents are connected with Grace through our relationship with the United Way of Johnson County. Also, we're going to be helping kids who come to Grace on Wednesday nights with the English as a Second Language program at Greenwood Elementary Schools. And then finally, just some local families that find themselves in need this Christmas, and so we're connecting with them as well. We call this outreach the world's largest Christmas party, as Pastor said, because of its eternal value. It's going to be Super Bowl Wednesday night, right? On the 18th, because people are going to be changed forever. On that day, the destiny of over 210 kids and their families is going to be changed. Here's how you can help. When the service ends today, I want to invite you to come up to one of the tables on my right or on the left here and fill out a form and pick up the child's name. You'll also get their Christmas list and a Christmas bag. And we're suggesting that each bag be facilitated with around $50 so that siblings especially will have the similar amount of gifts in their bag. And you can do that by filling the bag with $25 worth of clothes and $25 worth of toys. We're going to ask you to wrap each item individually and put it in the bag and then fasten that form that we give you to the outside of the bag, okay? We will be receiving bags in room 105, which is in the south hallway directly behind me here, behind the platform, before and after every service from now until Sunday, December the 15th, okay? Now, all those instructions are on the form that you're going to get, so no worries, okay, when you sign up today. We also need volunteers to help us to receive and organize the gifts for the event, and you can sign up to volunteer at the tables as well for those opportunities. Church, I wish you could have been with me this past week as I visited many of the homes of some of the kids that we're going to be helping this Christmas. It would break your heart. I'll be honest, some of the situations, I just didn't think people lived like that in America, but they do. And it would literally break your heart. When I asked one little girl, she was probably about 4 years old, maybe five, what she wanted for Christmas, you know, I was expecting to hear a dolly or, you know, jewelry or something that little kids ask for. And she just looked up at me and she said, "Pastor, I just want a Christmas tree. I just want a Christmas tree." And I just thought, man, Tim, you are stinking spoiled. You know, instead of asking for something for herself, she was asking for something for her entire family. You and I can be Jesus with skin on to these kids.
That's right.
All right. I want to encourage you, help us. As soon as the service is over, come forward, sign up, and help us to show the love of Jesus Christ to all these special kids that are going to be with us on Wednesday, December the 18th. We love you. Thank you, Grace.
Jesus is going to show up in some kids' lives, and they're going to be convinced that God is alive, and he's going to look like Ron Tarkala or Stan Hughes. I didn't know Jesus had white hair like Stan does. Another way to be incarnate, the love of God and the grace of God, is through missions. Another way we take part in the miracle of our incarnation is our involvement in missions. And so, how many know when it comes to missions, you can send money, you can pray, do all those things, but somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to be Christ to the world that is lost. And this coming summer, we are going to be taking a missions trip to Kenya. Jesse and Tom, if you guys would come here, and they're going to take a little bit of time talking about an opportunity to go to Kenya next year as part of a missions trip to show Christ to the people of that nation. Make Tom Davis and Jesse Muchai welcome.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, my name is Jesse, as Pastor said. I am a native of Kenya, having born and grown up in Kenya and moved to U.S. about 23 years ago, and I call this home. Would you mind playing the CD now? Like Pastor said, we are planning a mission trip to Kenya next year. Watch this video and then we'll talk.
Bishop Nick Sikobe of New Hope Churches of Kenya. And currently we are at New Hope in Maradaima. We want to thank you very much. You've received Dr. Jesse Muchai from Grace Assemblies of God. And Pastor Wayne, I've received your greetings and thank you very much. I look forward to meeting you soon. And probably getting to know you better, getting to thank you for the entire assemblies, Grace Assemblies of God, and for this time at least wanting to come alongside us to do ministry here. And look forward to a mission team that will be coming and visiting us.
Tamani actually is a Swahili word that means desire. One of our greatest objectives and our greatest desire is to be able to bring up these children in a godly manner. Our scripture is Luke chapter 2 verse 52, and we intend to give these people, these kids, those things that a child would desire to have when they're growing up. That is why we decided to call it Tamani.
A friend here called Moses. Can you tell us about Moses' story? How did he get here?
Moses came when he was 6 months premature, and someone has just dumped the little baby in the manhole. We have a huge sewer in the slums, so someone just came and placed this little infant somewhere there in that condition and left him there. So the slum dwellers and the residents, they were concerned and they knew what we were doing here. They came and they said, hey, let's take this little kid to Tamani because we know they deal with children so they can handle this case. That is how we were able to get this little baby. At that time, he was without any name. The eyes were not yet opened. So actually that is why we gave him the name Moses. And I will not go into details in terms of Moses in the Bible because you know. So from there, God has been taking care of this little boy right up to now. He's now getting to 3 years old.
It's the beginning of the slum. There are several of them. So the slum goes on and on and on and on and on. Way out there is a city. The slum goes on and on. Oh, that's the slum, even way out there. All the way.
My name is Liz Sikobe. I work in this clinic. It's Imara Medical Center. And these are the services we offer. Minor curative, immunization, family plan.
We would like to put two double-decker beds in this room and also insulate it so it doesn't get as hot. So these are girls or
This is the room for the bigger girls.
The bedroom for the bigger girls?
Yes. When they close school, they usually just sleep here on the floor.
Yes.
But we would like to make a difference and make sure they have double-decker beds here so that they can feel like the rest of their sisters.
All right.
Thank you very much. We wish you God's best in Jesus' name.
So this summer, we have an opportunity to go back to Kenya. I spent about 5 weeks this summer with my son Victor, and we spent a whole day in that slum. And it's nothing like heartbreaking to see kids playing in raw sewer and so many things that you would not even believe that people are living around. So we have an opportunity for dental, construction, optical, evangelism within the slums. So we are looking for about 15 people to put together a team that can go with us. And like I said, I've lived and called you and United States home for the last 23 years. And one thing and fact I have come to know is that the meaning of the word sacrifice, that we don't give because we have more than enough. We give because we sacrifice. And I know that as a fact because I'm a recipient of the same. So we are looking for people who will sacrifice their time, their resources, their talent, and each of us has a talent to make this 2014 the best and most successful trip, a mission trip that we can make. So we will spend about 5 days doing the ministry work. And at the end of those 5 days, we will take a 2-day trip to the Masai Mara Game Reserve tour. So we will have a safari. That's the word I was looking for. We will have a safari for 2 days just before flying back to the United States. Next week, Sunday, December 15th, we will have an information session, two of them. After every service, we will be at the choir room to talk about the details of what it takes, how much it will cost, and all the details. So you are most welcome to join us next week. Thank you.
And thank you, Jeff. In conjunction with the mission trip, we're going to have a mission convention next year in March of 2014, and one of our major projects is going to raise money to dig a well in Kenya. So after the first year sometime, you're going to see a couple wells at each one of the doors, and what we want to do is raise funds to dig a well in Kenya while we're there in July. And one of the things that came to me is when we were singing Greater Things Have Come, I just thought about that. You know, we generally think about us and our church, and that's what I was initially thinking of. But I thought, well, you know, greater things are going to come to Kenya. That's right. When we take this team over there and we dig a well, that's going to happen. And Mark 9:41 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. And I thought, everyone that's going to donate some money to dig a well is going to be part of that reward, because God's going to remember who helped dig that reward. And we just thank you and praise you and just lift your name up, because God is going to be so good to this church because of what it does for the work of missions. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, God.
I want to show you a video. I'm not going to go all MTV on you, but I heard a song this past week that fits today's message perfectly. And I didn't want to act it out myself, so I'm going to show it to you. It's called With Every Act of Love by Jason Gray. And right before we receive our offering and during the video, worship team, if you'd come and prepare. Well, I want you to let this video speak to you, this song speak to you, and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about how you can become the incarnation of Jesus where you live and in your situation. Watch this.
At the stoplight, he can't be bothered by the heart cry written on the cardboard in her hands. Oh, but when she looks him in the eye, his heart is broken open wide, and he feels the hand of God reach out through him. As heaven touches her, kingdom come, oh, 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 with every act of love, Jesus help us carry you, alive in us your light shines through, with every act of love, we bring the kingdom come. There's silence at the table, you won't talk, but he's not able for all the shame that's locked in deep inside. Oh, but her words are the medicine when she says they can begin again, and forgiveness will set him free tonight. as heaven touches earth. Said God put a million, million doors in the world for his love to walk through. One of those doors is you.
Put a million doors in the world
for his love to walk through. And one of those doors is you. Isn't that awesome? God put a million doors in the world for his love to walk through. And one of those doors is you. Now, some of you may be asking, Pastor, aren't we supposed to be receiving a miracle offering? Yes, that's what we're about to do. And some of you may be thinking, how does this have anything to do with this sanctuary that we're building out front? Well, remember that the building is a tool. I mean, no brick and mortar and steel never saved anybody. A building can't reach its arms out and hug somebody who's hurting or who's lost. We know that. So how is this new sanctuary exactly a miracle of incarnation? Well, let me explain it to you. Many people I see around the community, they always ask me about our church. And they say, man, God must be doing great things at Grace Assembly of God. If I'm at a basketball game or if I'm out and about, I'm at the checkout lane at Kroger. Hey, your church looks awesome. God must be doing good things at Grace Assembly of God. And I say, yes, he is. You should be part of it. When the fire happened a few Fridays ago, which turned out to be just a trash fire to create some attention. Apparently we needed some attention. Several people said to me, you know what, Pastor, it just reminds me that God's hand is on this place and that God is going to use this new sanctuary to reveal Jesus to many, many people. How many know the building says something about what God is doing? The building communicates to a community that God is at work. Matter of fact, that's exactly how it happened for Nehemiah in the Old Testament. Did you know that? In Nehemiah chapter 6, they were rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. And the scripture says, so the wall was finished on the 25th day in 52 days. And it happened when all of our enemies heard of it and all of the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by God. That's awesome. Because you know what's happening out front? There is a testimony that is screaming to the community. The church of God is alive, and the gates of hell will never prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. You know, if our community began to fill up with mosques, that would say something to us. That would communicate something to us that about the spiritual atmosphere, about what's happening in our community. If our community was beginning to fill up with Hindu temples, It would communicate to us something about what's going on in our community. Are you with me today? But if we're building the house of God, and hear me when I say, I totally understand that God can do it without a church. But in this culture, for whatever reason, God can use church buildings in a great way. And so this new building that we're building are going to communicate to the community that God became flesh and dwelt among us. And he has invested his life for the church of Jesus Christ. And we are going to be little Christ to this community and to this world and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. The salvation, healing, restoration, and grace. Somebody say amen. And so our ushers are going to be in place right now, and we're going to receive our miracle offering. And we're going to believe God for a miracle here today. Because an incarnation is a holy interruption in the lives of other people by followers of Jesus who want to share his love with other people. And so what we're saying, God, incarnate your power through us, your grace through us, here as a church, as a community, both individually and collectively as a body of believers. How many understand what I'm saying today? Five of you understand what I'm saying today. So here's what we've asked everybody to do. We've asked everybody to consider giving the equivalent of 1 week's wage to the offering for the new sanctuary. And so 12 weeks, you've had time to pray about this, plan about it, and through it. And so thank you so much. Already to this date, people have given $129,243. We should give God some praise for that. Isn't that awesome? The good things that God is doing. And so I want you to prepare. If you're giving, you can give electronically. You can give via check. Use the envelope on the chair in front of you if you'd like to do that. And what I want to be very clear about is that we are putting that final piece of the puzzle in place when it comes to giving, praying, and fasting. And we're believing God for miracles, household salvation, a divine visitation, divine favor. A spiritual outpouring. You saw all the hands of people who say, you know what, God's already doing it. God's already bringing it to pass. So what we're about to do here today literally will be a miracle, and it will cause miracles. Not just in our lives. It will cause miracles in the lives of people in this neighborhood, in this community. And I wish I had time to explain to you how it's going to affect people all over the world. But it will. Are you ready to be part of a miracle? Are you ready to be part of a miracle? Now here's what's going to happen. We've got ushers surrounding everybody today. And so the front half of the sanctuary wants you to come forward and bring your offering to these ushers here. If you are toward the back of the sanctuary, we have actually ushers behind you. And you're going to take your offering to them. And it's so right that each one of these are holding Christmas boxes or Christmas presents, because Christmas is about giving. It's about generosity. It's about the incarnation of Jesus and what God is doing in our lives. Now, here's why this is a miracle. It's a miracle because everybody's going to participate. Everybody's going to participate. Make sure you're part of this. Do something. Okay, everybody should be doing something, and we're going to believe God for it. Stand to your feet if you would. We're going to pray. Now, I want to encourage you not to leave after we do this, because I want to pray a blessing over each one of you for your generosity, for your giving here today. And we're going to believe God to activate miracles and the promises of God in your life. But I just want to acknowledge you today and realize that what I have asked you to do for many of you has been a very hard thing. For many of you, this has been a wrestling match. Can we do this? Should we do this? Some of you are taking such leaps of faith, you're scared. Your hands are shaking as you're holding that. I totally understand. And I just want to acknowledge that's faith. And God will honor that. And God's pleased with that. Because of faith, because you can trust God. You can trust Him today. Tracy and I are participating. Everybody who is participating today, we understand that anything that we give to God, we're not losing. We're investing. and God's going to use it. He's going to multiply it, and God's going to do miracles in your life. I said, greater things are yet to come for you and your house and your community and for our church as we participate together. Anybody with me today? So would you hold whatever you're giving today, would you hold it up real high? Hold it up real high. And let's pray together. God, we pray today in the name of Jesus. As we obey your word in this area of giving, Lord, we want you to know that this represents our hearts. Our hearts are with you. Our hearts are with your body, the Church of Jesus Christ. And God, we pray that you would use this new sanctuary as an incarnation of Christ to this community through us. May it testify to the world that there's hope, that you can endure, you can overcome obstacles, that God is alive. God, we pray today as we give that you would give us faith to believe that you're going to bring miracles through us. And God, everything that happened to Cornelius, we ask, would you let it happen to us? Save our entire house. Pour out your spirit on our house. Visit us with your holy angels. Let there be divine favor on each of us, Lord, as we walk in obedience and giving and praying and fasting. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Worship team's going to sing. You bring your offering to the Lord. Let's be part of a miracle. God bless you as you do that.